Boy, we got things to talk about, don't we, though? There's a lot of things to get informed on. Election integrity is one. It's on our plate again here. We're looking at the SAVE Act. Talked about it quite a bit yesterday. Congressman Troy Downing on the air today. We'll go into this as well. Also, there's a new bill he just introduced yesterday to reauthorize some block grants for Montana's Indian reservations. It has to do with housing. Remember chatting with Forrest Mandeville earlier this week about our housing crunch in Montana? Well, it's affecting everybody everywhere, all right? So we've got that on the plate. Also, there's some movement, I think, on the DHS, Department of Homeland Security bill, at least partially. So we'll get an update from Washington, D.C. Good to have you joining us here again today. Two decades strong and working on three, as I mentioned. A bit later on, you and Professor Mehrdad Kia. A lot of connections to Iran there as well. A long time study in the Middle East, and has been a go-to guest for us to understand this conflict and the parameters around it. They are hosting a conference next week at the University of Montana, so we'll get into that here in just a little bit. First, though, it's a pleasure to welcome Montana's Eastern District Congressman Troy Downing to the program here, a serviceman and now in the fight in Washington, D.C. about DHS funding, the SAVE Act. We'll get onto that as well. That's election integrity. And then also a Native American housing bill on the plate. Good morning, Congressman. How are things?
Good morning. Things are going great. You know, we're just been a busy week, and I have a feeling it's going to be a pretty busy day with everything that just happened in the Senate at 3 o'clock this morning. But, you know, I knew the job was dangerous when I took it.
And thank you for taking it. Thank you for public service, both as a military man and then in this arena, too. Let's talk about then what came out of the Senate at 3 o'clock and how long you guys have to respond to what is ever in that bill.
Right. Well, at 3 o'clock this morning, the Senate finally, after all this time, finally passed the Department of Homeland Security appropriations bill, with the exception that they took out ICE funding and CBP, so the Border Patrol, the Customs and Border Patrol. And, you know, just an aside on that is we've spoken about on this show, the One Big Beautiful Bill Act actually had funding for ICE. So we've been wondering why the Senate Democrats have been trying to block this, you know, from the beginning. But luckily that got through, and it put us in a little bit of an interesting spot here because a lot of folks had district work planned and different things. But we got that through at 1 o'clock or three o'clock in the morning. It came out. So now it needs to, since the Senate amended the bill from what we passed, you know, a long time ago, it has to come back to the House for a vote. And what we're doing right now is exploring our options for doing that. Because, and I'm going to kind of get into the weeds a little bit here.
That's
but
okay.
Because the House rules, the way that you vote on bills is it has to go to Rules Committee. And once it comes out of Rules Committee, then it can pass with a simple majority. But that takes time. So it has to go to that committee. And then we want 72 hours until we actually vote on it, although that's not hard in rules, but that's more of a custom. So we can circumvent that. The problem is going through rules, it may or may not make it out of the Rules Committee for a number of reasons. And so the other option is we can vote on it with suspension of the rules. And if you suspend the rules, it requires a supermajority vote. So it can't pass on a simple majority. But to get it on suspension, well, there's a couple of things. Is early on when we set up the rules in the House, is they said no suspension votes on Fridays, and today is a Friday. And so we would actually have to suspend the rules for that rule, which would require unanimous consent. And I know I went way down a rabbit hole there, but the simple thing is if we get this on the floor today, it's going to require unanimous consent to suspend the rules and put it on suspension, in which case then the bill would require a supermajority vote to get it through. So there's the you know, dirty details there. So right now, House leadership and the various, you know, factions on the Republican side, so the Freedom Caucus, the Main Street, you know, all the players in these various caucuses are all talking about what they think they can get through and see if we can get this through unanimous consent so that we can suspend the rules and get it through on suspension. And if that's the case, then that gets through sometime today, and all of a sudden, you know, DHS is funded, and that includes TSA, you know, that includes FEMA, that includes the Coast Guard, that includes all these agencies that haven't been funded since we passed the funding deadlines from the last CR. So that's the best case scenario. The worst case scenario is this goes through the normal rules process, in which case we would likely have a vote on Monday. And I see that as the worst case, or the likely worst case. Obviously, yeah, anything can happen in Congress, but that's the likely worst case. But, you know, that's what we're looking at right now. And everybody is working hard on trying to get consensus to get this through one way or the other.
Well, it seems the Democrats have had this DHS bill shut down, and the department as well, since it's going on a month now. Is this a clean enough piece of legislation that you guys are going to be able to pass it, or not, I guess, as a whole? Do you think there's I'm sure there's going to be some resistance to amendments to it. Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, there's always some resistance from, you know, some faction. There's always somebody that doesn't like something. And I'll say, you know, perfect is the enemy of good. You know, we need to get good policy through, and nobody's ever going to get perfect. But I'm going to say, for us, and I hate to put these things in these terms, but I mean, this was a huge win for the Republicans, because even though they're pulling ICE funding out, ICE is funded independently of this bill. We did that in the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, and we avoided having what the Democrats were demanding, and probably the one that stands out the most is demanding us to allow the opposition to start doxing federal law enforcement agents.
Yeah, yeah.
And nobody would put themselves, their children, their families at risk and do the job of, well, I won't say nobody, but few people would put their kids at risk for them to show up to work. So this was something that the Republicans were unwilling to concede on. Yes, absolutely. Body cameras, you know, I think everybody thinks that's a good idea. But allowing folks to dox federal law enforcement, and everybody that says that this is the only law enforcement that you allow them to mask up, and I'm going to say this is the only time in history that we've had folks using social media or using Signal chat or, you know, tweeting the movement of a federal law enforcement agency trying to do their work for the sole purpose of going out there and trying to confound them doing the work that we all expect them to do, and trying to identify them so that they can put their likeness, their name, and their address online so that they can be harassed or worse. We've never seen that before, and that's why the Republicans, you know, stood firm on that. And I'll tell you that on that issue, we won. We did not concede any policy changes. We just conceded that this would be paid in this bill. And as I mentioned before, we have other ways to pay them.
Represents Montana's Eastern District in Washington, D.C. It's Congressman Troy Downing with us here. I appreciate you speaking that out, because that was so frustrating and so obvious, that attempt. And by doxing, you mean the Democrats wanted to disallow the wearing of masks to protect those identities, because exactly as you put, thank you so much for understanding that. I hope everybody else gets it as well. That was an attempt to harass people doing their jobs by the party. And it's not common sense.
Well, and I think that was their goal. I think what their thoughts were is if they made it dangerous for federal law enforcement to enforce the law, they would have less federal law enforcement willing to enforce the law. And that was a way for them to shut this down without having an actual vote or law to shut it down. It just made it so that folks would be less willing to do their job because they were worried about putting themselves and their families at risk.
I appreciate that. We're going to take a call here because Nancy wants to talk about the things that we have on our plate here as well. I'll make sure we talk about this Native American Housing and Self-Determination Modernization Act introduced yesterday. The SAVE Act has been out there for election integrity. I know that's on Nancy's plate. Nancy, good morning. You're on the air here on Voices of Montana with Congressman Troy Downing.
Thank you, Tom, and good morning, Congressman. Yes, we're hearing a lot of polls that President Trump is not in a favorable position, and I have to disagree, because just a year and a half ago, he got the majority of the vote plus the electorate here in our country, so I do not agree with that at all. What he's doing is what we voted for, the majority of the people voted for. and the SAVES-X is a must. We have to have voter ID. There is absolutely no reason why we should not have voter ID. It was just a few weeks ago that we were informed that 23 individuals here living in the state of Montana who are illegal, they were actually registered to vote, and they've been voting in our elections. And we just simply cannot tolerate this or have this at all in our government. So as far as this passing, getting to know Mike Johnson, Speaker Mike Johnson, he's kind of cryptic. He doesn't really show his emotions, but I have a gut feeling he may not pass this. I know that he's a man of integrity and faith, and so I don't know if this is going to pass or not. And like you said, our ICE and DHS is funded until 2029. So as far as the Democrat Socialist Party, they're just delaying this to make a point. They just want to put a front up to their own party individuals and voters that they don't agree with ICE. And we have to have ICE. We have to have law enforcement in our country, especially now with millions and millions of illegals. I know that you've heard the crimes that they've committed. You know, the young lady in Chicago, Sheridan Gorham, and, of course, the individual, he was a retired Air Force veteran that was pushed off the platform in New York City in front of a subway by an illegal from Venezuela. So we have to have law enforcement in our country. So I, getting to this housing project in on our reservations, I think it's great. But once again, I question, we're in the 21st century, and I hate the idea of having reservations because they were used for political purposes in the 19th century. And I highly respect the individuals that live on these reservations and our tribal people. But do we need reservations? I just have a gut feeling that if we stopped the failed system of reservation living, that the people would be better off without the government underneath their nose all the time.
All right, Nancy, I'm going to take it back from there because I will end up running out of time here, and I do want to get to some of those issues you talked about. So thanks for those comments. I mean, and I appreciate that. And Troy, maybe talk about that Native American Housing Self-Determination Modernization Act or however you want to address that. But that hasn't been updated since 2008.
That was a lot of topics there. So, Nancy, I appreciate your call and I appreciate your passion there. Yeah. So a couple of things. First of all, you had mentioned polling that shows poor approval of the president. And I've seen polling that's shown him in a very strong position. And I will just throw this out there. Polling is in the eyes of the beholder. The way you ask a question, you can influence how you get an answer. And so always be a little bit critical, or you know, don't always take them for what they are, because sometimes they do have a goal. And I mean, just for example, if you say, "Hey, do you support this horrible person bill?" You'll get a different answer than if you say, "How do you support this great person bill?" I mean, it just is a very simple thing. So I'm going to throw that out there. But more germane, I think, to what's going on right now, as you mentioned, the Save America Act. And this is something where the only explanation that I can give for the Democrats not supporting this, the Democrats in Congress not supporting this, is they believe that they are being elected by people voting that do not have the legal ability to vote. And I can't come to another conclusion there, because if you, and I'm going to go to polling here, and this polling, I'm just going to say, was done by Harvard, Pew Research. These are not exactly bastions of conservative thought. These, you know, obviously lean a little bit left, but these polling show that almost 75% support the SAVE Act, almost 85% support voter ID. So the vast majority, Republicans and Democrats, want to see this problem solved, and the Democrats in Congress are trying to fight it. So I would say right there, there's your sign. In terms of, you mentioned Mike Johnson, I'm going to tell you, I know Mike Johnson personally. I've now worked with him for a while, and I think that he is the perfect person to be running this right now. He is, as you mentioned, a man of strong faith. I think he's a very honest and ethical man, and he's going to do everything that he can to move forward the agenda that all the voters put us here to enact.
I'll tell you that the problem with the SAVE Act is not going to be in the House. The problem is going to be in the Senate. And we need to figure out a way that we can get this through in the Senate. And that's going to be the big fight there. And I think that what we need to do is point out the facts that I just mentioned, is that most Americans, Democrats or Republicans, support this policy, and the Democrats in Congress do not. And there's your sign that there's likely some tomfoolery going on that they're counting on. So I'm going to throw that out there. And then finally, you had mentioned the Indian housing issues and the tribal issues. And I'm just going to say right here that, a treaty is a promise, and the United States of America does not break its promises. Can we make things better? Yes, and we should always strive to make things better. And the bill that I just introduced yesterday, the Native American Housing Assistance and Self-Determination Act, it's not asking for any new money. This is basically streamlining and reforming existing policy so that these tribes, using these block housing grants, have the ability to set their own rent, set their own markets, basically run these so that they're the most effective in solving the Indian housing issues in Indian country, across the country, not just in Montana. And we are right now trying to solve the housing crises across the country. It's a huge problem. Now that the median first-time home buyer is 40 years old, we see the American dream slowly slipping away from more and more young families. So we just recently passed our housing bill in the House. There's also a housing bill in the Senate, and we're in the process of trying to reconcile those two bills. And the reason that I brought forth NAHASDA, the bill that I just mentioned on Native housing, is so that our tribal communities are not left in the dust in this conversation. And just to put a bow on that, what my bill does is it puts reforms in there so that we are good stewards of that money that's already gone through the appropriations process. And we basically reauthorized that. It hasn't been modified or reauthorized in 13 years.
Yeah.
And it's time that we do that so that everybody can participate in what we're trying to do to help folks build their American dream and become homeowners.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit more about that while we're on topic there. And I'll go back to this so-called Great Reset here, too. But we look at our seven tribal nations, and they're going through the same thing, severe housing shortages, overcrowded homes, aging infrastructure in that regard. So it's been since 2013 that this has been actually formally authorized. Talk about some of those measures that are in there. Reauthorizing the program, allow tribes some control over rent policies, the Section 184 housing program got to look at.
Yeah. So a couple of things, and some of these are going to be common themes you're hearing from the Republicans in Congress right now, because we've got a lot of issues with permitting reform so that projects can go shovel to, finished in shorter amounts of time. You're not dealing with government bureaucracy. So there's a lot of themes that you're going to hear in here. So one of them in my bill, it consolidates the environmental reviews required for any federally funded tribal housing projects. So that's a, permitting reform. That's a streamlining of that process. This also exempts tribal housing projects from BABA, which is the Build America, Buy American requirements. And this is something that I'm trying to do in any HUD projects, not just in the Native American housing projects, because BABA was in the Infrastructure Act of 2017 and was specifically intended for building big infrastructure, like, think of bridges and large infrastructure projects, and it completely makes sense there. It was never intended for, or there was no rule that it applied to housing as well. And somehow HUD started building it into that on their own accord. And I've spoken to the HUD secretary about that, and he believes that we can revisit this so that we start pulling this out. And here's the problem. What that's doing is having that in there is not only increasing time to market, so it's making it take longer to build something, but it's also making it more expensive. And we're trying to turn over every rock and, everything we can do to try to make housing more affordable. And so, that's in this bill. This also promotes tribal sovereignty by allowing tribes to set maximum rent policies, because I believe that
the government closest to you understands you best and has the most effect on your life. So the tribe should be setting that, not somebody in D.C. This does modernize the Section 184 lending program, so it expands private financing options. Let me repeat that, private financing options for these projects. And this also, this is one that's near and dear to my heart. You know, our tribal communities have a very high percentage of folks that have served in the military. And this supports tribal veterans by codifying the existing tribal HUD Veterans Affairs Supportive Housing, which are the VASH program, which is important to me to make sure that our veterans are taken care of, you know, even, you know, in Indian country. So those are the reforms that I have in my bill. And like I said, this is it's not asking for any more money. This has already been appropriated. This is, you know, this project or this program has been around for a long time. It just needs to be modernized and reformed so that it's meeting the needs of today and make sure that our tribal communities are participating in everything that we're trying to do in housing.
Your staffers do a good job of putting those things on your website and you know, putting those press releases out that have content in them. So we'll point people to the Congressman's website for more information on that. I've got less than 90 seconds, and I don't want to cut you off here. I want an overall take as much as you can, and I'm just going to say this. I know you're getting pushback on the SAVE Act for some of the things that it's requiring. I'm more than willing to do all of those things. You know, as the liberal news outlets have talked about a great reset, in a negative way, I wouldn't mind a great reset of all of our election and registration. So I'm more than willing.
Tom, yeah. let me just throw something out real quick in my last couple of seconds. A lot of the stuff that they're pushing are simply not true. Mm-hmm. And everybody's saying, well, married women aren't going to be able to get ID. Not true. Mm-hmm. Rural Americans are not going to be able to. If you can't find the document, you know, you've got your birth certificate but can't find your marriage license, you can basically sign an affirmation that that's the reason that your name changed. It's literally, if you can sign your name and swear that it's true, then you can get that through. There are so many ways of getting past documentation that you can't find. They're just blowing this out of proportion that we're trying to keep people from voting, and it's simply not true.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and I know it's a lift, and these are important. Election integrity to me is as vital as national security here too, and we've seen shenanigans that need to be fully examined. So I appreciate this effort. I know we'll talk more about it, Troy. It's not an easy time, but it's a critical time. So thank you for all the work you do, sir.
Well, thank you. Happy to be here. And if people want to find us, just downing.house.gov.
Thank you. I didn't write that down. Downing.house.gov. Happy Easter to you too, sir. And thank again.
Happy Easter to you.
Yep. Good to chat with you. Once again, Montana Congressman Troy Donnelly.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.